Amen. How beautiful. What a wonderful blessing to be with you here again this morning. And a couple things initially. I don't think that Brother Chris is calling on me because I'm the younger preacher. I think it's because he really wants to see if I'm going to test out that 5 minutes that my wife told me I could only speak for 5 minutes. Then let Brother David come ahead. And so far I've failed every time. Yeah, yeah. Brother Chris said I'd be paid the same difference if I spoke five or later. So I really have very little sense with that facing me. But I will say this, if I do go over 5 minutes, it's because I love to brag on the Savior. And I love to hear these other brothers brag on the Savior too. And I'm really jealous of these brothers that have been preaching since they were 14 or 15. Because the Lord called me, I'm certain, when I was 17 or 18. And I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know what to do about it. So I went in several different directions in my life until God in His mercy finally, I refer to myself as a recalled preacher. Because He recalled me when I was about 27. And I thought, oh goodness, if I could have only been preaching this glorious truth since I knew He had called me. I just didn't know what it was. I'm so thankful that these brothers were among faithful men that could guide them and tell them what they were going through. I didn't have that. And if there's somebody under the sound of my voice that at 14, 15, 17 years old, we have a young brother back home that's 15 and exercising. And I'm so, just be thankful that you're in a place where you can be guided by a brother like this or a brother like this or another brother out there. Because the old preachers back where I came from, not Primitive Baptist, but the old preachers back where I came from said, you better run from a call if you get it. That's the worst thing you can do. That's the worst thing you can do. I always thought that was confusing, but I tell you, I'm so thankful that these brothers have been exercising their gifts for as long as they have. And I'm so thankful to be a recalled preacher. So it's a great blessing to be here with you. And I'm so thankful for the manner and mode of our worship. You understand what we heard here a little earlier when the dear little one was also pitching the song with the song leader. You cannot hear that anywhere in any other denominational type of church. Because the drums and the sounds of different things drown that out. You'd never hear that. And what a glorious thing that was. That just blessed my heart. And that's the way it is often in the church of the Lord, is we get to see insights and little things that doesn't lift us up or make us better than anyone, but it makes us rejoice that the Lord has favored us. And who am I that I would be blessed to be able to hear such things that are so glorifying to the Lord? I want to speak to you this morning from Luke, the 10th chapter, and we'll read verse 38 through verse 42. Last night, we spoke to you about a young man who had one thing lacking. And I want to speak to you this morning about a young woman that had one thing that was needful. As we look at Luke, the 10th chapter, and the 38th verse, and after the pages stop turning, we'll read there. But very familiar verse of Scripture. Last night we used some familiar Scripture that you're probably used to hearing a lot regarding the rich young ruler. And here we look at a verse of Scripture that has to do with some very familiar characters in the Word of God. And being in the Old Baptist Church that is full of many characters, as I refer to them, it's always great to look to the Word of God and see that there were some great characters in the Word of God. Luke 10 and verse 38, let's read together. Now it came to pass as they went that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answering and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let me just take a moment and point out that a common thread that I have noticed myself through the sermons and the messages that we've heard, not only in my own, but especially in Brother David's, have you noticed the kind and caring and loving way in which our Savior has spoken and speaks to His people? Isn't that a great common theme that we see running through the Scripture? I was I was rejoicing in the Lord so last night when Brother David pointed out the manner in which God spoke to Abraham and that great horror of darkness, as opposed to the way that he spoke so gently and kindly to sweet, loving Sarah. And I've always been fascinated by Sarah. She was a humorous woman. She was a funny woman. She was a character. Now, let me tell you, she was a great lady. And if you say, well, I just don't know where to start studying in the Scripture, start studying some of these characters in the Scripture. And don't just brush over the reading of it. Get your dictionary down and look at the definitions that are surrounding these people. Like Sarah, who was, I think of my mother when I think of Sarah. My mother, such a vibrant and loving and hilarious woman, even in the midst of great difficulties in her life. I think of people that I know, and often we distance ourselves from these people in the Scripture and think, well, they were just these holier-than-thou, untouchable superheroes of faith. No, they were just like you and me.
That's right.
They were just like you and me.
Amen.
And I rejoice in the way that God speaks to us. And He didn't look at Martha and go, what's your problem? Come on, get over this mess that you're doing. I don't care what you're cooking in there. He didn't do that. No, in a loving, kind way, He demonstrated His own character and nature by speaking in a almost a hushed tone. Martha, Martha.
Amen.
I wish I had that more of that tone about me. I don't. I have to cultivate and I have to make myself have that kind of a tone. But not Christ.
Amen.
That's Christ. That's His heart. He said, Martha, Martha. Look at what's troubling you. And I'm not going to call Mary away from what she has chosen, because that is the needful thing in her life. Now listen, the word needful right there, Jesus says, one thing is needful. That word needful, the definition is this: it needs to be. That's the definition of needful. Jesus is saying what Mary is doing and what she has chosen to do, it needs to be that way. You see, it's the same. It comes from a root word. I think this is really odd, but it makes sense if you'll think about it this way. It comes from a root word. Needful comes from a root word that means to graze. That's one of the meanings. And I think, well, how in the world does that apply? This is how it applies. It is needful for cattle to graze. You understand that?
Yes.
If they don't graze, they're going to fall over dead. You know, it's needful for sheep and lambs to eat. You see, that's what Jesus is saying. This is really, in one sense, it's like it's not optional. If you want to have healthy cattle, if you're a cattleman, I love the setting of the church here. I love looking out through the Spanish moss and seeing the cattle grazing out there. It reminds me so much of home. We're in a rural setting, much like yourself. And I just enjoy seeing nature surrounding us here. And I look out there and I see the cattle. And if you're a cattleman or a cattlewoman, or if you've had cattle or sheep, or we might even throw the old smelly hog in there. You know, if you've had anything that needs to grow, you know what you must do. It is needful that they graze. It is needful that they go into the field and that they have food there to eat.
Amen.
And that's the meaning of this word here, that Jesus says one thing is needful. He says, Martha, you've got all of these things going on, but there's something that is needful here. It's just like the cattle need to graze in order to be healthy and fed and be a product that can be something that's beneficial in the market. It's needful that they graze. And He's saying to Martha that what Mary has chosen to do, don't miss that, she made a choice. She made a choice to do this. It is needful, just like cattle need to graze. Don't miss that, please. Because Mary chose to do that. You know, we love, as old Baptists, and we should preach the fact that God has chosen us, that we don't choose Him. That's a fact. That's a doctrinal truth that's glorious and beautiful. But at the same time, we don't need to just stay on that side of the coin. We need to flip the coin over and understand that as chosen children of God, as favored ones that had no right or no merit to command or demand or bring the love of God upon us, that there's another side to that coin. As a blood-bought child of God, as a redeemed, as the redeemed of the Lord, as the ransom that will return ultimately in bodily form one day, as we are blessed to be favored by God, to be chosen, then we also have some choices to make ourselves.
Yeah, amen.
Don't ever miss that. Now, again, as good old Baptists, we'll qualify that the choices that we make in no way hinder or manipulate or change the fact that we are God's chosen. But as Jesus pointed out to the disciples, and especially to Peter, because he's the one that warmed up to it quicker than anybody else, and as we talked about last night, there is something now in this time that we are so foolish if we don't avail ourselves of it. We don't have to wait until eternity to enjoy the blessings and the favor and the joy of God in our hearts now. And that's exactly what Mary was doing. I want you to notice this, that this one thing that was needful for Mary, she made a choice. Jesus said that. He says, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. Now, I want you to see here this morning where that leads Mary ultimately, okay? Yeah. I want you to see where that leads her ultimately. Because Mary is very consistent in the choice that she makes. And she makes that choice again and again and again. You know, whether you realize it or not, I know those of you that have to be carried to church, you don't really have that choice. But those of you that make the volitional choice each week to go to church, you know, you make the choice to do that. You say, well, I could not do it any other way. Yes, you could. You could choose not to go. Praise God that you choose to go. And those little ones thinking, yeah, I'm just being made to go. Well, that's true. And you are being made to go. Hopefully you want to go. You know, but understand, there'll come a time for you one day when you'll have the choice to make. I'll either go or I won't go. And praise God for going. Yeah. Maybe it's Friday night, Thursday night, Saturday morning. Praise Him. It's Sunday morning. Praise God that you make the choice to go. That's a needful thing. Cattle must graze in order to be healthy. It's not an option. And so Mary made a choice. And in making that choice, I want you to get this now. Get the reality of what's going on here. They go into the house of Martha. And Martha is this great domestic. She's a great server. She's known for... we used to say, you know, till Martha Stewart went to prison. You know, we used to say, well, she's like Martha Stewart. But anyway, she's like... And then we said Paula Deen, you know, and then something happened to Paula Deen. Listen, Martha's just Martha, okay? Quit trying to compare it, and we'll just go with that, you know. So, I'm afraid to compare her to my mother, because I'm afraid my mother might get arrested or something, you know. And I can't use her anymore. I'm just kidding. But Martha is Martha, and she's an amazing servant. I mean, she is an amazing caterer. She is legendary for what she does. And Mary made a choice to forsake helping her at this point. Now listen, it does not mean that every time that Martha served, Mary wasn't there helping her. But this is a special event, folks. I mean, listen, the Son of God is sitting in the living room. You know, could there be anything more important than the Son of God sitting in the living room? And so she forsook what she normally did with Big Sister, I suppose, Big Sister Martha. And she made the choice to position herself at the feet of Jesus. And she remained there. And I want you to notice that Jesus says to Martha, well, first the scripture says, verse 40, Martha was cumbered about much serving. The word cumbered, the root word means to drag all around. I think of somebody dragging chains around. You know, she was dragging some things around. She was cumbered. There was something holding her back. She was so overwhelmed by the things that she had planned and the things that she had going on. Does that sound familiar for us? And then Jesus, He nailed it down even tighter. He says, Martha, you're careful. You're careful about some things. That means full of care. And it comes from a word that means to select a portion. So literally, Martha's portion, Martha's part, what Martha had selected to do was causing her anxiety. Because that's what the word means, careful, anxiety. And it also says that she was troubled. The word troubled means to be in an uproar. You know, I mean, you can just hear pots banging around in the kitchen. You know, go do this, go do that. And I mean, it's all just this big hullabaloo going on in the kitchen. And it's Martha. She's in an uproar. You know, she's got to get the turnip greens off the stove. I don't know if they had turnip greens, but it would have been good if they had. But she got to get the turnip greens and the cornbread's going to burn and all of this. And she's got to have her hand on it because she's very OCD. You know, it can't just be, well, little sis, go over there and do this. No, she's got to do it because it's got to be just right. See? Now listen, in and of itself, doing something right and doing something good, that's not bad. See? It's not bad that she's a great caterer. It's not bad that she is does the good things that she does, but she's taking it too far to the degree that she can't be satisfied and it's not enjoyable to be around her.
Yeah.
She's taking it too far. So listen, Jesus points out she's cumbered, she's careful, and she's troubled. So understand this. Picture Mary now, who has made a choice to forsake being in the kitchen there at this moment with Jesus at the house. She's positioning herself at Jesus' feet. She's not cumbered. She's not dragging the chains around. And she's not anxious or careful. And she's not in an uproar. She's quiet and at the feet of Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful picture that we all need? Jesus said this thing is needful. This one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen to do this. And He says, it will not be taken away from her. Do you know who the only person is that could take this away from Mary? It was Mary herself. Jesus said, I will not take this away from her. I will not take it away. Did you know that when you choose to position yourself at the feet of Jesus, and let me just say in a moment, I'll try to touch on what that looks like. Because, you know, Jesus is not physically here. If I had a mirror to hold it up, that'd be the best illustration. I hold the mirror up, you could see yourself. This is one picture of what it looks like to position yourself at the feet of Jesus now. See? Coming to church, hearing the gospel preached. I love what Brother Chris prayed in his prayer. Just forget about our faces. Forget about Brother David's face. Forget about my face. And look past us, because we seek to proclaim Jesus. And you position yourself at the feet of Jesus. This is how one way that you do it. You can do it at home. You can position yourself in front of the Word of God. You know, this is the face of God, the Word of God. He has revealed Himself to you in His Word. And you might not be able to see the exact outline and definition of His face, but you can see His character and you can see His heart from His Word. Oh, and I hope that's what we do. I hope we see His heart. I hope we see the kindness and the love of God. And He says, Martha, Martha. You know, it's almost like He's saying, I love you, I love you. You know, when I talk to my children, I do occasionally talk to my children that way. You know, I have looked back and spanked the wrong one. I told you about that Thursday night. I tell you, the older you get, the softer you get. There's some truth to that. And I've just married one off, you know, on May the 19th on my birthday. And the two younger girls, of course, and I just got one graduated too, but she's still at home. And of course, poor Asher, he's just stuck in the middle there somewhere. You know, he's just sort of the floating man, you know. But the two little girls, which I affectionately refer to for years as the two little old ladies, because they're always doting on each other, always kind of sometimes, you know, a little bit cantankerous with each other, you know, fixing each other's hair, picking this off of each other. They're my two little old ladies. And when I sit down at night and I'm exhausted and I've been maybe in court all day or doing something all day, and one of them comes to me and says, Daddy, are you going to come tuck us in? And my nature says, no, I'm too tired. But my spirit says, absolutely. Because those moments are fleeting. Those times are going to pass so quickly. They already have passed for one and soon to pass for another. So I get my tired self up and I go and I do that. You see, isn't it great to know that God speaks to us that way? I love you. I love you. But there's an issue. Martha, you've got an issue. You're taking this too far. You're in an uproar. Did you know that the things that we are very good at can become the greatest snares in our life? I speak from experience on that now. Of course, I really wasn't very good at it, but I learned to play the guitar, you know, I was 12 years old. And I love to play the guitar. And let me say this, there's nothing wrong with playing the guitar. And I love to do it. It's a great thing. But I have memorized in my mind about, no kidding now, don't test me on this because I'll prove myself right. I have probably 350 songs memorized in my mind that I learned on the guitar from age 12 or 13 all the way down to 21, 22. And I can recite Eagle songs. I can recite certain country songs. I can recite certain old folk songs, certain bluegrass songs. I've got songs memorized in my mind because I started playing the guitar, and I got a little bit. I was just a strummer. I couldn't finger pick, but I got good at strumming, and I'd got the rhythm, and I could memorize those things. And you know how you say, "Well, that's great, Brother Tim. We're proud of you." Don't be proud of me, because I could have 350 Bible verses memorized in my mind, except for those stupid old songs. See? And oh, how I wish I could go back and take back at least half of those songs and have Bible verses committed to memory. Because that's what's going to carry me through life. The Eagles are not going to carry me through life. Although Lion Eyes is a very good song. Has a lot of truth in it. You understand? I was somewhat good at that. And people said, "Well, you're really good at that." So I began to think, well, I'll just keep on going with this. And personally, over confusion about being called to preach, I thought, well, maybe I'm called to sing. And so the thing that I was somewhat decent at, I continued to cultivate, and I continued to try to get better at. I wanted to, no matter what I do, I want to try to be the best at it. And so that took me to Nashville years ago and living there. But oh, the mercy and the grace of God. Oh, what mercy. There was always that vacancy in my heart, always wondering, is this what I really need to be doing? And then there was that wonderful providential day when I called old Elder Rich, who, by the way, was the pastor at Bethlehem, where I now pastor. I said, "Brother Rich, I need a place to go to church up here in Nashville." Now, let me say this. That's something I should have checked on before. I should have checked on that before. But in my foolishness, in my zeal for something that was not spiritual and not godly, because I was taking it so far, I hadn't done that. And I called old Elder Rich, and he said, "Yeah, brother, y'all sure go up there to Bethel Church in Nashville, Elder Lonnie Mozingo." I said, "Ma what?" I'd never heard of a Mozingo. I didn't even know how to say it. But oh, the day, and I tell you this too, the day we went, I told Sister Tracy, and Sister Tracy had never been to a Primitive Baptist church. And I told Sister Tracy, I said, "Now listen, we're fixing to go to Bethel Primitive Baptist Church with this crazy man named Mozingo. I don't even know what that means. But be ready now. There's going to be about 10 people there, and they won't be able to carry a tune in a bucket, and they'll all be old." And so we got to Gallatin Road and walked into this huge building. I looked around. This is the wrong address. We go walking in there, and I hear the most beautiful angelic singing coming from a congregation of about 300. I'm like, I'm in the wrong place. And I'm looking all disgruntled and my nose turned up. You know, I'm thinking, this can't be Primitive Baptist. It's not what I'm used to. And then all of a sudden this preacher gets up there, and he's not sing-songing to the degree that you can't understand him, you know. He gets up there and he starts rolling the glorious gospel off of his tongue. And I thought to myself, I said, yes, I'm in the right place.
Amen.
And God was so merciful to me to be able to let me follow out to the end of what was going on in my life and my understanding and what I needed to be doing. And I'm telling you, I've been saved by the gospel. I've been saved by the preaching of the gospel. I've been turned from the course that I was on, because it was a totally different, opposite course. I've been saved by the gospel. And I heard that preaching, and I heard those hymns, and we'd come back, and we'd even go home on the weekends sometimes and try to leave about 12 or 1 o'clock after going home and going to church at the old Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. We'd try to make it back in time for 6 o'clock services at Bethel. I'll never forget one time that we were running late. We got there about 6:20, and I didn't know how bad the crime was on Gallatin Road at that time. You know, they've moved since then. And I came, I was so excited to be there. We're running late, can't wait to hear Brother Lonnie preach. And I got to the door, it was locked. And I tried that door and there was nobody there. That was one of the lowest moments in my life. We turned around and we got in our car and we drove back to our apartment, our house where we lived. And I was thinking, I was locked out of the church. And I thought to myself, I don't ever want to be locked out of the church. I want to be in the church. I want to be in the kingdom. I want to be there with the saints. I want to be hearing the preaching of the gospel. You see, so a good thing, it was a good thing that Martha was a great caterer. She was a great servant. But the things that we are good at can become the most devastating things of our life if we take them too far.
That's right.
See? But Brother Tim playing the guitar is a great thing. And I love to do it. I still do it today. I have some of the most fun times I do sitting behind that six string and enjoying that. Brother David's been blessed to come and see some of our antics and enjoy some of the fun things that we do. But if I take it too far, I have effectively brought myself to a point to where I'm ineffective in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
That you can fill in the blank for you, whatever that may be. If you're really good at something, then you better be careful, because that good thing can become something that is a hindrance and a stumbling block in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Don't let that happen like I let it happen. Don't let that happen like Martha let it happen. Now, the things that we're very good at can become our greatest snares. But the things that we're very good at can become glorifying things to God. They can. And I believe that Martha, I think she got some of what was Jesus was saying. Because we find her again in John the 11th chapter. She's serving again. You know, she didn't quit serving. You understand that? You know, I didn't quit playing the guitar. You can fill in the blank. Maybe you like to sing. And maybe you like to karaoke sing. You know, I pray. One thing I pray for my kids is that they'll never be famous. I pray to God they'll never be famous. Because fame will destroy a person. I pray to God that they'll just pass off the face of this earth as good husbands and wives and children and parents. I just pray that they'll go through this life in the kingdom of God, enjoying the great blessings of God, and not have to worry about fame and fortune or those things that corrupt and destroy men when they take them too far. You see? I mean, Abraham was a rich man, and it didn't corrupt or destroy him. It did bring him some issues in life with his nephew. But you see, Martha didn't just quit serving. In John the 12th chapter, it says, 6 days after the Passover, they came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. This is John 12 and 1. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served. Now let me tell you something about this, and this is what I close with here this morning. This, if you put together Mark 14 and the Matthew account, I think it's 19, and also John the 12th chapter, you have the same account covered here. And it's very encouraging to do that if you study the Word of God. When you study, it's good to put those accounts together and read them together. Because you get little nuggets here and there of different things from the different accounts. There's no contradiction there. It's just different accounts by the different ones that write. And so what we find out when we put those three together is we find that we're in Bethany and we're at the house of Simon the leper. Now let me tell you, this is an all-star cast that is assembled here. It is an all-star cast because you've got Simon the leper. I mean, here's a guy that had leprosy. See, he's been healed of his leprosy. I don't know when, at which exact point Jesus did this, but he healed Simon of his leprosy. And Simon has gone home. See, you couldn't go home when you had leprosy. And Simon has gone home. He's with his family again. So if you want to get together an all-star cast of people and to see some glorious things, then you want to go to Simon the leper, the former leper's house there in Bethany. And that's where they are.
Yeah.
And not only was Simon the leper there, but if you're going to have an all-star cast assembled of great people that you want to glorify God with, why don't you call up the guy that was dead and bring him over? And that's Lazarus. I mean, think about that. We got Simon the leper who used to have leprosy, and now, Pete, don't you know people were shaking his hand? Man, I haven't shook your hand in 25 years. I couldn't touch you. Your breath was horrible. You know, I couldn't do anything. Now I can hug you. I can touch you. Oh, don't you know that human touch was precious to Simon? Yeah. Because if he had children. He hadn't even felt the hugs or the kisses of his children. He couldn't tuck them in bed at night. And that man's home now, and he's hosting a feast at his house. And he says, why don't we ask Lazarus to come over? You know, who's Lazarus? You know, the guy that was dead. Let's have the dead guy come over. Well, is he stink? Is he? No, he's alive now. Oh, yeah, let's have him. So, and hey, listen, I got a great idea. Why don't we get the greatest caterer around to come and serve the meal? Who are you talking about? You know, Martha from Bethany. You know, she served Jesus before. Let's get the greatest caterer to come and let her cook those cakes that we love so dearly. If it had been my mama, here I go. But if it had been my mama, they'd have had 3 or 4 cinnamon cakes there. Man, it would have been great. So Martha serves, and Lazarus was one of them at the table with them. Now, who else was there? Well, you know all the disciples were there. The apostles were there. Simon Peter, I'm sure everybody was wanting to gather to hear what he might say. He's always got something to say, you know. And then also, you know, there was Andrew, and his claim to fame was he was Peter's brother. You know, who's Andrew? That's Peter's brother. Yeah, that's good enough for me, you know. It's been a running joke among with Brother Chris and myself, you know, since he came to the old Baptist late. I followed him in everything. I followed him in school. I followed him, you know, to college. I followed him to law school. I followed him prosecuting. I followed him practicing law. I followed him doing all. I followed him. I was baptized after he was baptized, you know, back when we were in the Sovereign Grace Church. But he followed me preaching. You know, I got him in one area. So among the old Baptists, you know, he's my brother. See, you know, oh, your brother Tim's brother Chris. That's great. Everywhere else, you know, I'm Tim, Chris's brother. But I really, probably a little too prideful in that, but it's a lot of fun to rub that in. So Andrew, you know, he's just Simon Peter's brother. But he's still somebody, that's for sure. And then you got James and John, the sons of thunder. Man, are they going to roar here at this all-star cast? And then you've got Thomas. I know he's doubting Thomas and we give him a hard time. But he was still among the apostles and he said some great things. And you got Matthew, the former publican there. That's a guy that used to be a traitor. See, he appeared to be a traitor to the nation of Israel. And then probably sitting right next to him was old Simon the Zealot. Could you imagine those two? That'd be like a Republican and a Democrat sitting down and hugging one another. You know, oh, good grief, God forbid, could that ever happen? Well, Simon the Zealot did, and Matthew the publican were sitting next to each other at this all-star cast. And then you've also got Judas the traitor, the most famous traitor of all time. Y'all look around you and think about how many kids in this room are named Judas. Do you know anybody on the face of the earth who is named Judas? I don't. There probably is somebody that doesn't know really what that means. I don't know anybody named Benedict Arnold either, do you? Benedict Arnold, probably the second most famous traitor. But here we have the most famous traitor of all time is at this meal. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention, the Son of God was there.
Yeah, amen.
Son of God was there too. You know, I mean, just, yeah, so that's kind of a footnote, you know. You got all these great heavyweights, you know, and the Son of God was there. But let me tell you about somebody that stole the show. Apparently, Mary's choice had led her to a great place. Mary's choice had led her to be positioned at the feet of Jesus. And no doubt, sweet little Mary heard what Jesus said in Matthew 26 at this meal, before this meal. When he said, in a few days, I'm going to be crucified. You know, the apostles, they dismissed that. Oh, no, don't say that. Don't say that. We don't want to hear that. Or they just were quiet like, what did he say? You know, they didn't want to pay attention to what he said, but not Mary. Mary's at the feet of Jesus and she's listening. Yeah. Mary made the choice to be at the feet of the Savior and she's hearing what he says. And I believe that sometime between when he said that, and here at this meal, Mary went home and she got under her mattress and she pulled out all the money that she'd been saving. We've been on a vacation earlier part of the week, and dear little sister Elizabeth, one of the two little old ladies, has brought her little money bag, and it's a sketch bag. It says sketch on it. You know, it looks like you got sketch stuff in there, you know, until you pick it up and you shake it, and it goes chinka 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 ching. And I'm like, there's money in this thing. Well, then you open it up. I'm sorry, Elizabeth, I'm exposing it, but I'm like, whoa, there's a lot of money in this thing. And the last time I saw it, it was laying on top of a table at a restaurant. I'm put that thing up, you know. So Mary went home and got her little sketch bag with all her change and all her money in it, and she went to the store. And she goes to the store and she buys the most expensive pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. And she's got a purpose for that. Listen, if she hadn't been at the feet of Jesus, if she hadn't made the choice to be there, she wouldn't know to do this. Jesus says, I'm about to go and I'm about to sacrifice myself. I'm going to be crucified. And you know what crucifixion meant? It was a death knell. He was going to die. And little Mary has been sitting and listening while the other apostles are dismissing it or saying, Lord, don't do that. Mary's been listening intently at the feet of Jesus. And she goes home and she gives her little money up. That's about a year's worth of salary, by the way. And she goes to the store by herself. I can just see her going there. And I can just see her plopping that money down. And the merchant probably thinking, well, this is going to be nice perfume for her. Maybe she's going on a date. Maybe she's got a feast to attend. No, Mary's got an intent in mind with this. I've even heard it said like this. It could have been that she bought this for Lazarus' burial. Well, she didn't use it, by the way.
Yeah.
If she did buy it for Lazarus' burial, she didn't use it. I could just see her buying that and taking it with her back home. And among all these heavyweights, among all these all-stars, Simon the leper, Lazarus, the former dead man, Jesus, the Son of God, the greatest traitor that's ever lived, Judas, Simon Peter, the sons of thunder, and this little woman in the middle of this meal, or near the end of the meal, breaks the top of that ointment. and the smell of it fills the room. And if you put the three accounts together, she started at his head. Can you imagine how uncomfortable that would be? You're sitting at a meal and somebody comes up and starts pouring something. That'd be a food fight at my house, you know. Food fight, it's on! You know. But Mary, they're all watching her. She pours this on top of the head of Jesus and it begins to flow down his garments. And he just sits there. And everybody there is going, what in the world is this crazy little girl doing? What is she doing? And Jesus says, let her alone. And the account in Mark is one of my favorite accounts where he says, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Mary chose that good thing. And that good thing that was needful was to be at the feet of Jesus. And Mary learned some things at the feet of Jesus that even the apostles didn't get. And Judas couldn't get it. For ye have the poor with you always. Whensoever ye will do, ye may do good to them. But me ye have not always. She had done what she could. Did you hear that? Jesus said she's done everything that could possibly be done for this particular purpose, which is anoint my body for the burying. And she stole the show. Judas said, this should have been sold and given to the poor. But it'll tell you in the book of John that he lied. He lied. Because he really wanted the money for himself. And Jesus said, let her alone. She's done what she could. And it all started with being at the feet of Jesus. She made a choice. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You'll see things at the feet of Jesus that you won't see elsewhere. Are you dragging chains about? Does your portion that you have chosen in life cause you anxiety? Is your life in an uproar? Then are you disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care? Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus and He will give you rest. Have you cares of business, cares of pressing debt, cares of social life, or cares of hope unmet? Are you by remorse or sense of guilt depressed? Come right on to Jesus. He will give you rest. Make the choice. Come to the feet of Jesus. You'll have what Mary had, and it is glorious. May the Lord bless you.